I did decide to plan my message today around mothers and Mother's Day, more about mothers than the actual holiday itself. So I hope it's a benefit to you. As I said before, not all of us are mothers. I'm not a mother. My wife is. So some of us are mothers, some of us aren't. But it is one thing for sure, we all have a mother or had a mother at one point, and we can be thankful for that. Mothers are very special. When I consider God's thinking process as he began to plan and create mankind, I'm very intrigued about what went through the mind of God. Because with God, there's no limitations. There's nothing that holds him back. He can do anything he wants, can't he? I mean, you even consider the creation that God has put together. And you have, obviously, the life that mankind has. Very unique from other forms of life that God also created. We have to survive without any artificial help. We have to survive above ground on the land. And we don't last very long beneath the water, kept away from oxygen and being able to breathe. On the other hand, God's creative powers and abilities created life that thrives beneath the waters. And it's hard for me to understand that because I'm not a scientist, but it is amazing nonetheless that there's life forms that can only survive in the water. There's life forms that thrive on land. There's also other life forms like plant life and vegetation that also is life created by God, but in a whole different way. So God's creative powers are incredible, and they are without limitations. When God created mankind, he did so by making us incomplete. Incomplete. We are not born as a man or a woman or a baby boy or a baby girl. Complete. Not perfect, certainly not perfect. And I believe that each of us, when life began, we began life being very needy. Do you ever think about that, how needy you are when you're born? I know we've been blessed with a new granddaughter, Loretta, and she is very needy, very much reliant, and needy in a good way, very much reliant upon her mom and her dad. They take care of her and provide all of her needs. Without them, I don't want to be morbid here, but babies would not last very long. She very much needs her parents to continue to thrive. And I think on the spiritual plane, isn't that the same way for us? Aren't we spiritually very needy with God providing everything that we need in our life, spiritually speaking? God's an amazing God. But back to my point, when we're born, we're not complete. We are very needy. And there are many holes as we start life in our life, many empty areas that need to be supplied and filled. And I think we would all agree that the most important area in our life that needs to be filled is that hole in our life where God has to be. He has to fill a space in our life. But there are many spaces, many gaps or empty places in our life that need to be filled. And I think that mothers play a huge role in filling in those gaps and empty places in our life, especially as we begin our life. Some of the holes or areas of our life where we're very needy include love. Every child that's born is in need of love, to feel loved, to experience love, to have that touch, that certain place in their mind. And a mother does that in a very unique way, much more unique than what even a father can do. And I'll get into that a little bit more as we go through my message today. But love is a very important need for a little child. Kindness, that child needs kindness. And they learn from kindness. They learn from the love that they receive from their parents. The child needs education. If you don't ever teach a child anything and you keep them away from society, they're not going to grow up smart and intelligent and being able to make good decisions in their life. They need education. And I'm not talking about school education. I'm talking about education of what is right, what is good, what is safe to do, what is could be harmful for them. They also need family. They need not just the mother, but that child needs the mother and the father. And they need their brothers and sisters if they're there. Every person in that family fills an important role in that child's life. And as I mentioned, that child needs God. And the mother and the father do go a long way, or should go a long way, to helping that child in their relationship with God. But the mother fills a lot of these various empty areas of a child's life. You might even be able to list a few other areas. It wasn't intended to be an all-comprehensive list. But the other point is, and we see this a lot in our society today, is if some of those holes go unfilled, that child really struggles in life. You can take the example of love. Sadly, there's a lot of children in society that are born into society and they have very little experience with love. They don't feel love. They don't get love from their parents or from anyone else. And they grow up frustrated and a lot of times dealing with very deep anger issues. It's very sad to see. But that's just one example of not having areas of a child's life filled that cause that child problems as they grow older. And I also don't believe that any of us, any person in here, or anyone in the world, as a matter of fact, have all of those empty places in life filled properly or perfectly. I think we're all lacking in some of these areas, and maybe multiple areas in life. You can probably look at me and say, well, clearly Bart was lacking in education. Well, tomorrow we will be celebrating Mother's Day. And when you stop and consider your life, I think you'll agree that there's nothing more special in your life than your mother. Moms fill so many holes in our life. And when you think about it, isn't that their God-given duty, their God-given ability? God gives the mother the ability to uniquely fill so many areas of a child's life. That mother builds the foundation for their children. And they almost instinctively start filling those empty holes in a child's life. Most mothers don't stop and think, I really need to show love to my newborn baby. That's an automatic. God put that within that mother and the father to show love to that child, to give that kind of thing to them. Well, today I would like to, for the rest of my message, look at a few special traits, and there's more than these, but I would like to look at a few special traits that make up our mothers. God has given each of us a very special blessing in our moms. The first trait that I'd like to discuss today is mothers naturally sacrifice for their family. Mothers naturally sacrifice for their family. She almost always puts herself last when it comes to the needs of her children. So many mothers down through time have fed and clothed their children and their entire family before they're concerned with their own needs in that regard. If there wasn't enough to go around, she would make sure that she fed and took care of her children before herself. Turn with me, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 31. If you have a bookmark, you might want to pop it in there. We'll be back here a few times today during my message. Proverbs 31, verse 15. Just want to pick out this one scripture here because it does paint the picture of a mother's service to her family. It says, she also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portion for her maidservants. So she gets up early in the morning hours to make sure that she has her kids on schedule and their needs fulfilled, to take care of them, to get them ready to face the day. The life of a mother is certainly one of sacrifice. She always places her family first. A mother is usually the first one up in the household and usually the last to go to bed. A mother's sacrifice begins before her child is born. It's difficult carrying that child within you for 9 months. Sometimes you're physically ill and your back starts hurting, and maybe I should have a mother come up and explain all the details better than I could on what she goes through as she prepares to give birth to that little child. Yes, it does begin before the child is born, but it continues throughout the life of that child. Let's go through a few of the stages of life of a mother's child and consider just very quickly some of the sacrifices that the mother gives up for her children. As a newborn, our mother spent night after night rising from her sound sleep to nurse and to change the diaper of the newborn baby. That happens on a regular basis. What about when the children get a little bit older and they're small children? As the small children begin to explore life and they get into mischief, our mothers give their guidance, maybe even some correction, telling them that they did wrong, that they need to go a different way. And they nurse their child's wounds and they make things all better. I know none of our kids, when they would get hurt, would come running to me for comfort and care when they were hurt. They would always go to their mom, and mom would take care of them. Mom had that special ability to almost be a nurse to their kids when they needed it. What about when the kids turn to teens? Is that a time when the mother just sighs and says, oh, all my cares and worries are over? Not even close. If anything, they probably escalate during the teenage years, because up to this point in their child's life, the mom is focused on teaching the children their family values, on what they think is important in life. And now they're sending them off to school and they've developed their school friends. And as we know, Satan is the power of the air, and he certainly has influence over our children in the society around us. So she has to deal with that worry of the world pulling her children away from the family values during their teenage years. It can be a very difficult time for moms as their kids work through the teenage lives of their kids. So the world is almost a nonstop pull and trying to pull our children away from the family values. What about when they're adults? When our children become adults, I know some of you in here, your children are becoming adults. And that's also a completely new phase. Do you then at that point just cast off your concern and your worry about your children? Not at all. It will always continue to be there for the mom. Just because they're grown and on their own doesn't mean that a mother quits sacrificing for her children. Our mothers stand ready at a moment's notice to jump in and help their children as she can with any of their struggles in life. So a mother is always there and ready to step in. Think about your mom. Think about those different areas of your life as you were growing up and how your mom was there for you, how she stepped in to help you at a moment's notice in any way that you needed it. God tells us the importance of sacrificing for others, doesn't he? Sacrifice is a very important part of a Christian's life, and mothers certainly fill that role as well. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 15. And we'll look at verse 13. This is Jesus Christ's example for us. And I think it's a mirror image of what mothers provide for their children. Jesus Christ said in John 15, 13, "Greater love has no one than this." There's no greater love than to lay down one's life for his friends. From my view, a mother lays down her life for her kids, for her children. There's no greater love than that, was Jesus Christ's own words. A mother gives of herself daily without the cost, without a thought to the cost to herself. I did a little internet search and I came across a website called Circle of Moms. And they asked this question on their website: what sacrifices have you made for your children? And there were quite a number of random posts of women that wrote in and told their stories of how they sacrificed for their children. I know one lady, and she didn't elaborate on this, but she just made a very simple statement. And she said, I've sacrificed everything. And she said, I mean everything. And she didn't, like I said, she didn't explain any further than that. But there was one post that really caught my eye that I wanted to share with you. And I felt that this post tells the story of a lot of women in terms of their sacrifices for their children. It says it's from a lady named Jamie. She said, "I don't feel I have made sacrifices. I would look at it as being a mother and making right choices for me and my children. If I have given up something or lost a friend or two after becoming a mother, it was for my child's safety or their well-being. I do what is best for my children. That's not a sacrifice, it's being a parent." There was another website that I came across called Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts. And Courtney Reisig, I believe that's how you pronounce her name, Courtney Reisig said the following: "For as long as I can remember, my mom has had a picture hanging in her house with this saying, 'Content to sacrifice my time to meet my child's needs.'" That's what the sign said. "Content to sacrifice my time to meet my child's needs." She went on to say, "Motherhood is filled with sacrifice, isn't it? From the moment we conceive, we sacrifice our body, our energy level, favorite foods, and in some cases, what we just ate for breakfast, for the well-being of our growing baby. When our baby is born, we sacrifice sleep, time, and brain cells to care for this precious life. The sacrifice only continues as our baby grows into a toddler, an elementary school student, or a teenager. Each stage brings new freedoms, but also new sacrifices. They also bring new opportunities to be content with the sacrifice that's required of us. Interesting thoughts. The second trait of mothers that I would like to look at today is our mothers are our teachers. Our mothers are our teachers. Proverbs 31 describes the traits of a virtuous woman. But if you read that description closely, you quickly see that the focus describes the traits of a loving mother. Where did this description come from? Turn with me, if you would, back to Proverbs 31. And we'll look at verse 1. Proverbs 31, verse 1. This book of Proverbs 31 are the words of King Lemuel. You see that in verse 1. The words of King Lemuel, but they are the utterance of his mother and what she taught him. So these are actually words that he's just transcribing from the teaching that he received from his mother. And it truly is a very important and powerful teaching about the role of a mother. You might have heard about the book, All I Ever Really Needed to Know, I Learned in Kindergarten. Have you heard that title before? Yeah. It was written by Mr. Robert Fulghum, and I might have pronounced his last name incorrectly. But I think the author's focus is incorrect. I think the book should have been titled, All I Really Need to Know, I Learned from My Mom. Because I think that's actually the facts of life. Everything that we really needed to know, we learned from our mother. Our mothers are our first and most important teachers in life. They teach us how to respect others, right? They teach us how to respect others. And it begins by them learning to respect mom and dad. They teach their little ones how to respect others, especially beginning with themselves. They teach them how to make friends and to get along with others. A lot of times our little children are too shy to go up to other kids and make friends. But mom's there trying to encourage that relationship to start off on a good foot and teaches her children how to make friends, what it means to be friendly, and to show love and concern to others. She teaches us how to love, and she teaches us how to show love to others. I'm sure, even using our family's example, I'm sure Brad and Amanda have already showed their older daughters how to show love and kindness to little Loretta. And that's a natural thing for parents to do that, especially for a mom, to show their little ones how to show love and kindness towards others. A mom teaches us our manners. And probably that was a little more so in years past, but it doesn't mean that it's not important. We need to show proper manners and morals and ethics to our children. That's establishing those family values in our little one's life, and you cannot start too early. You really need to stress and teach manners, morals, and ethics to your little ones. It will stick with them if you teach them early how to do that. Mothers also teach their children to be giving by sharing their things. Who hasn't seen, I'll pick on the little boys, who hasn't seen two little boys fighting over a car or some other type of toy? No, it's mine. No, it's mine. And mom will quickly step in usually and say, okay, Jimmy, let Tommy, I'm not picking on anybody here if you share those names. Let Tommy have it and let him play with it for a while. So you teach your children how to be giving and how to share things with the other kids. It teaches them that selfishness is not right, that you need to learn how to be giving and sharing with your things. And the mother does that. She just naturally steps in to give their children the guidance that they need in these areas of life. She also teaches them to be responsible, right? Go clean up your room. Once they get old enough to do that, tell them, go clean up your room. You got to do that every day. Make your bed every day. Get your room straightened up. Teaches them how to be responsible. And she also teaches them about God and his ways. God tells us in his word that we're to train up our children in the way that they should go, and to teach them about God, to teach him how loving and how kind and how nice he is, and how he wants to have a relationship with them. Mothers teach us an endless amount of basic foundational knowledge of how to live our life successfully. Jesus Christ spoke to Moses and to the children of Israel, and he told them how they were to view their parents. The Israelites and we are taught throughout Scripture that we're to be a holy people. Let's see what that means and how it begins in life. Turn with me, if you would, to Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19, we'll read the first three verses. Leviticus 19, verse 1, it says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Verse 3, every one of you shall revere his mother and his father and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God." God stresses that for them to establish holiness in their life, it begins by revering or showing honor and respect to your mother and your father. That's one of the most lacking things in our society today amongst young people. A lack of honor and respect to the parents. Why do you think God stressed that we shall revere our mother and our father? And he ties it in to this concept of being holy. I believe that the reason is because if you don't show respect to your mother and father, you're not going to show respect to God. It's a teaching of authority, a respect for authority in a person's life. And a young child needs to be able to look at his and her parents and have deep respect and honor towards them. That is a staple in beginning to understand how you are to revere and honor and respect God in heaven that gave us life. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 1, if you would. We'll read verses 8 and 9. Proverbs chapter 1. This first book of Proverbs gives, a lot of books in Proverbs actually give a lot of instruction for young people and how to view the law and God and your parents. Proverbs 1, verse 8, "My son, hear the instruction of your father." In other words, listen to him. Listen to him and do not forsake the law of your mother. Respect them both, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. It's something, what God's message in here is there's something about that that you will carry with you the rest of your life that will be a blessing to you in your relationship with other people and in your relationship with God. If you are at peace in your mind and in your heart with your parents and showing them love and respect, it will completely envelop your entire life. If you go the other route and you fight and you argue and you disagree with and you show lack of respect and honor to your parents, it will be a frustration and a torment within you for your days moving forward. You will not be a content person if you are at odds with your parents. This is so important that we as young people embrace this. Don't fight against God's word here, because it is incredibly valuable to you. Incredibly valuable. God says he's not ignorant. God is not ignorant. He's very wise. He knows everything that will make your life a blessing. And he's telling you here, show respect to your mother and your father, because they will be a graceful ornament about your head and your neck as you go forth in life. It's so vitally important for our well-being and our success in life. The third trait of a mother that I would like to look at today is a mother's love. A mother's love. A mother is willing to do anything for her children. I think we would probably all agree on that. But I would ask, why? Why is she willing to do almost anything for her children, as long as it's good and godly? Where does her desire to deeply and selfishly serve her family come from? The commitment to her family comes from a love that only a mother and God can understand. Turn with me, if you would, to Isaiah 66. Verse 13. This is an interesting verse, because God is actually trying to tell us about his comforting and loving nature through the example of a mother. Isaiah 66, verse 13. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. And you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. See, God knows that the comfort and the love that a mother offers her child is very unique. It is very special. Even to the point that he tries to tell us how much he loves and comforts us through the example of a mother to a child. I want to share with you a few quotes about a mother's love. The first one is from Abraham Lincoln. I remember my mother's prayers, and they have always followed me. They have clung to me all my life. The next one is from George Washington. My mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. All I am, all I owe to my mother. I attribute my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received from her. Funny he didn't mention kindergarten in that, did he? Mark Twain. My mother had a slender, small body, but a large heart. A heart so large that everybody's joys found a heart so large that everybody's joys found welcome in it and a hospitable accommodation. How many in here remember Glenn Campbell? A few of us. Glenn Campbell said this about his mother. There ought to be a hall of fame for women, for mamas, I'm sorry, a hall of fame for mamas. Creation's most unique and precious pearl. And heaven help us always remember that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. I think we can all relate to these quotes of how special our mother is to us. My personal opinion is that a father can't come to understand the depths of the love between a mother and her child simply because he didn't give birth to that child. He wasn't with them every minute of their life as they were growing up from a very small child to their adult years, as a mother usually is. A mother's love for her children is from the depths of her heart, and it's shown by her actions. It's not just a quote. It's not just a phrase or an interesting anecdote about the mother's love. It's proven by her actions. God's instruction to us is that our love for each other has to be from the depths of our heart, very similar to that of a mother. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, we'll read verse 18 and 19, and I'll read from the New Living Translation. 1 John 3, 18 and 19. Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth, so we will be confident when we stand before God. A mother shows her love and proves her love by her actions. Mothers aren't perfect. In fact, they make as many mistakes in their life as anybody. But her God-given traits are very unique and very special, designed by God for you and me to fill in many holes in our life that were meant to be filled in, designed to be filled in by God. Mother's love for her children is shown by the selfless love that she gives them every day of her life. Let's turn back to Proverbs 31 for a final scripture. And we'll go to verse 25. Proverbs 31, beginning in verse 25, we'll read through the end of the chapter. Strength and honor are her clothing. I want to stop there in our reading just very briefly. Strength and honor are her clothing. So this is God's inspired word about a mother, about a woman. And those same words are also used in God's word to describe God himself, that he is a God of strength and honor. If you want a good reference for this is 1 Chronicles 16. I'll jump over there real quick. 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 27. This is a scripture, we're jumping obviously right into the context here, but it's a scripture describing God. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and gladness are in his place. So this trait of a woman having strength and honor are the same words that are used to describe the nature of God, that he is a God of strength and honor. Proverbs 31:25 again, strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. I found that last part of that verse a little bit difficult for me to grab a context of what it's talking about there. She shall rejoice in time to come. And I did quite a bit of study. I've looked in a few commentaries. And it seems that it's talking about that she will have no worry for the future. that she will be patient with her strength and her honor. She has no worry about the future. She opens her mouth, verse 26. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. A law of kindness on her tongue. She watches over the ways of her household, trying to make sure probably that everyone's needs are filled and taken care of. She does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. That's the whole center part that's so important in making up a mother, that she fears the Lord. Verse 31, give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. When God designed our mothers, he chose to share a part of who he is with our mothers. God's purpose in doing this helps us fill the holes that must be filled in our life. This Mother's Day, I would encourage you to thank your mother for all that she is. And again, they're not perfect, but in many ways, they are a blessing to us in our life. And they need to be honored. They need to be respected. It's good to show them love. And thank God for sharing himself through them. It's good to look at our mothers and to see the nature of God, at least a little bit, come out through our mothers. Mothers are God's blessing to each and every one of us. I hope the rest of your Sabbath day is very blessed.